How do you screw up Netflix? AM 770 KTTH, the Jason Rand Show. Brian Suit filling in for Jason Rand for the rest of the week. And earnings down. The future not looking immediately good. I don't get it. How do you screw up Netflix? It's like screwing up Amazon Prime, if that's possible. But anyway, I'm sure they'll bounce back. And by the way, Amazon, if you're wondering, the Amazon's movie making arm in Los Angeles is the hip place to be. It's funny. It's not the Weinstein Company because they don't exist anymore. It's none of the traditional places. Getting Amazon to pimp your project is the place to be, followed closely by Alibaba.com, the Jack Ma online commerce site where they mail you things from China. You open the box and it's not what you ordered. Yeah, that place. Anyway, they're funding movies and stuff. Netflix, which redefined the genre, found a way to lose money. Which I admit I'm a Netflix customer. I'm also an Amazon Prime Video customer and YouTube TV and Google Play, all the streaming services. I don't get it.
Is it just overspending on all of the different shows that they're making?
Well, I'm paying that. What is it? Is it $10 a month now? It went up to $10.
Yeah,
I think. And you know what? They could snake it up another 50 cents. I wouldn't notice. I still like Netflix. I know, I still do. I don't care about the movies. Their original stuff is terrific. Amazon, though, you know what? The unicorn that Jeff Bezos has been chasing after, he's been doing this for 3 years. He's been combing and beating the bushes looking for a Game of Thrones for Amazon. And he thinks he's found it. But it's funny, if you go looking for that thing, you never find it. You find a bunch of stand-up triples, you know, or maybe stand-up doubles. But if you go looking for the Grand Slam, you don't find the Grand Slam. Game of Thrones is almost accidental. I mean, it fell, into HBO's lap. But anyway, we'll get to that. It's stuff I love talking about, and because Jeff Bezos is going to own the entire world now that I believe he's being toweled off after Prime Day. And then you heard there at the top of the hour that as it turns out, the Thai cave boys. And by the way, thanks, Fox, for pretty much the worst translator we've ever heard. I don't think if we could play that again, I wouldn't want to. But so anyway, we find out that the Thai cave boys were warned by their parents not to go in the cave, specifically because it's going to fill up and flood this time of year. Turns out every single year it rains this time of year and that cave fills up. And they were warned not to do this by their parents, who know way, way more than most 12-year-olds, regardless of their soccer team or their soccer ability.
And so, apparently more than a 25-year-old coach.
Yeah. I'd ignore your parents, kids. You know, I don't think the heavy stuff, he's like Carl the caddy in Caddyshack. I don't think the heavy stuff's going to be coming down for some time. Anyway, we've got time to go in there and write our names on that back wall. No, not that first one. No, the one way, way, way in the back. Yeah, let's do that, kids. Follow me. All right. No, better yet, why don't you all go first? You're smaller. I'll be here in the back. So, the president is, yesterday he clarified, there was not exactly a presser, but sort of a hasty announcement that there would be a press availability at the end of a cabinet meeting, and the president was going to clarify his statements in Helsinki when he stated in answer to a question from during the Q&A period with Putin there next to him, that his director of national intelligence, Dan Coats, told him that it is absolutely not even under debate that it was the Russians that were interfering with the American election in 2015 and 16. And then the president had to add, but it could be lots of people because there's lots of people. And I'll concede there are lots of people. But then he said that why would Russia want to do it? Why would Russia do it? And he clarified yesterday, and I don't know how much he clarified, and I'm not going to paraphrase him. Darren has the clip. Here's the president clarifying what he said in Helsinki.
In a key sentence in my remarks, I said the word would instead of wouldn't. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't or why it wouldn't be Russia. So just to repeat it, I said the word would instead of wouldn't. And the sentence should have been, and I thought it would be maybe a little bit unclear on the transcript or unclear on the actual video. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia. Sort of a double negative.
I don't know if that clears anything up, but he whipped out his wood on Monday, and we all heard it. He's an adult. He's the president of the United States. And I think he was actually asking the question, why would it be Russia? Because I think no matter what he's told, he still asks that question. And part of the reason psychologically is because he can't accept the fact that there is a possibility that it's not just that he won, but that Hillary was actually held back. And I mean, I sit me down with him for 5 minutes and I'll explain to him that he did run a good campaign because he won. By definition, he won. But that Hillary, and he this would just burnish his opinion, Hillary ran a crappy campaign. There's never been a sure thing. This is like Carl Lewis at 50 meters running backwards, or sitting down and having a Gatorade or whatever, or Carl Lewis at the 90 meter mark, slowing down to a trot. I mean, that's effectively what she did. But in reality, what Hillary did was she started at a trot. And she started by announcing to the entire stadium that she's entitled to the gold medal and that it is hers for the taking and that she could run faster if she had to. But at the moment, her hip is a little sore. But when she gets that gold medal, she'll be the most qualified gold medalist of all time. And here's the old gold medalist endorsing me and the whole thing. That's effectively what in my little analogy where Hillary is Carl Lewis, what happened. But it's regardless. Trump is unable to admit that it is true that the Russians were trying to affect the election. They were not, and this has to be, I wonder if anyone's really made this clear to him. They weren't picking him. That no one helped him. The Russians weren't helping him. They were preventing Hillary from being elected because Putin has a problem with her, specifically, and her husband. And the way they did it was pretty brilliant. Release those emails and turn off all the Bernie voters. That's all you had to do, and that's all they did do. And then run it through your front organization that people still think are whistleblowers called WikiLeaks, and it looks like it's legit. You launder it through that Julian Assange ass hat, and it looks like a legit dump of emails. But those emails show that Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Hillary's campaign manager, John Podesta, are conspiring to suppress the Bernie vote. And you know what? That's their right. It's a private organization called the Democratic National Committee. It's their right to do that. Instead of saying that, because you can't say that to the little snowflakes, you can't say, folks, here's Hardball about political parties. If you want to go form the Bernie Rides a Unicorn Party, you tootle off and do that. It is off that you must go F, okay? You go do that. But he's not a Democrat. He's not allowed in our sandbox. If you want to grow up and be part of this deal, you got to call yourself a Democrat. If you want to go back Bernie, go over there and be an independent. But they didn't do that because they're incapable of talking to people like adults. And that's why Hillary lost. And you know who wins if Hillary loses? The Republican. Ted Cruz would have won. Marco Rubio would have won. But anyway, so what this has all led to is now there's a president who sat there in Helsinki who said, why would the Russians do it? Because that's what he really meant. And then he clarifies, and it wasn't quite that much of a clarification. So earlier today, the president was tweeting early on. he was clearly watching Morning Joe with George Will was on there. George Will, who's now on the record saying that he hopes the Republicans lose Congress here in November. And that would take place in January, and that the Republican Party crashes to the ground and has to rebuild. Well, okay, if that happens, there's still a Republican president for two more years. And I don't quite get what George Will thinks is going to happen, but the die is cast. The guy has thrown himself out of, he's no longer a Republican. He would rather sit there and not build it from the inside, but throw rocks from the outside. And Trump responded to him on Twitter saying, there are those, in fact, I'm paraphrasing, there are those who didn't like me meeting Putin and getting along with Russia. You would rather see a war. It's a bit of a straw man. There's something between being tough on Putin and actually going to war. There's a pretty broad continuum there. But regardless, those are politics today. And speaking of politics today, we will talk to John Decker coming up here in the next break. Also, And this may be a bit of a surprise to everyone in the state of Washington, but there are states in the union that have state income taxes, and they're loathsome. They're hateful. New York has a huge one. California has a onerous, oppressive one. And in the new tax law, you can't write... Normally, you could write off your state tax bill. Not anymore. So what's New York doing? Are they eliminating their state income tax and just getting along with the sales tax, you know, like Washington does? No. They're suing. They're saying it's on behalf of their own taxpayers. That and more. Plus, the daughter-in-law of Ruth Bader Ginsburg is good enough to have dropped an album based on her her mother-in-law, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We'll play a little bit of that just in case you have to purge your breakfast. Back right after this, it is Brian Toots filling in for Jason Rance from The Jason Rance Show, AM 770 KTTH. AM 770 KTTH, The Jason Rance Show. Welcome back. Wednesday morning, Brian Toots filling in for Jason. And the president was about an hour late yesterday for what was supposed to be an 11 a.m. Hastily called press conference from a cabinet meeting. And it went to about 11:50 Pacific time, and then he clarified his story was that when he said, why would Russia, at Helsinki, when a question was asked to Putin, Trump's answer was, why would Russia do it? He said, my intelligence community, Dan Coats, the Director of National Intelligence, et cetera, said that Russia did it. but then he said, you know, there's lots of people. And then he said, why would Russia do it? Yesterday, he said that what he meant to say was, why wouldn't Russia do it? And so now they're doubling down on that. John Decker joins us from Fox News. And I get the feeling, John, that the Republican congressional delegation didn't exactly buy that. I'm not seeing today some sort of a full-throated support for how the president explained this.
Yeah, they want this story, Brian, to just go away because it's really difficult for them to explain away the president's comments, despite the fact the president said yesterday that he misspoke when he made his initial comments at that joint press conference with Russian President Vladimir Putin. I think the big question is, why did it take over 24 hours to get that explanation from the president? After all, it's not like the president left that joint press conference, got in the motorcade, and got on Air Force One and flew back to the U.S. He actually stayed in Helsinki to do two interviews with two of my Fox colleagues, Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity, before departing Helsinki. So he and his communications team certainly had ample time to see what the blowback was on every American cable outlet after the president's joint press conference.
Well, so my sense of it is that they want this to go away, and since it's not going away organically, maybe refocus on Kavanaugh and the Supreme Court nomination. Is my spidey sense correct on that?
I think it is. You know, I think that's a good read on the situation. You know, for Republicans, they acknowledge and realize that the midterm elections are just a few months away. They don't want this hanging over their head, you know, trying to explain away inexplicable comments made by the president at that joint press conference, which took place 48 hours ago in Helsinki. They want to talk about the issues that are important to them. And, you know, I think one of the reasons why the president did make that statement yesterday, that delayed statement yesterday, was because he saw all the statements that were coming out, distancing themselves from the president, coming from Republican lawmakers. That's just not a good place to be for the president.
All right, John Decker from Fox News here at the White House, and we'll see. Already, the president's already tweeted in response to Morning Joe today, so he's off and running. We'll see where the day ends up. John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Brian. Have a good day.
All righty, and so here's what I'm talking about. As I'm driving in this morning, I have YouTube TV. And I'm scanning. I'm channel surfing as I'm driving because, you know, you can. And so on Morning Joe, they had Joe Scarborough and his wife slash co-host. I don't know if that's official yet, but they were not on the show. So Willie Geist was hosting, and they had George Will on. George Will is a vocal anti-Trumper. In fact, he's gone so far that way that he literally has said The only way to fix the GOP is to have it get its ass handed to it this fall. And he really says that with a serious face. And then he's going on denouncing, he came up with a new term, Helsinki Republicans. So right around then, Trump tweeted, right about 10 minutes after 4 a.m. this morning, Trump tweeted, quote, "Some people hate the fact that I got along well with President Putin of Russia. They would rather go to war than see this. It's called Trump derangement syndrome, exclamation point," close quote. And so that he started talking about the tax cuts and all that, but he clearly was watching Morning Joe this morning and seeing George Will sitting there denounce him. So that happened. We ran out of time this break. When we come back, I'll play Darren more of his new favorite album, the daughter-in-law of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, dropping an operatic album in tribute of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the 85-year-old superannuated Supreme Court Justice. Adam Moore coming up. It is the Jason Rand Show. Brian Suits filling in for Jason on AM 770 KTTH. AM 770 KTTH. It is the Jason Rand Show. Brian Suits filling in for Jason for this week. And just announced, Boeing has settled the deal with the White House to provide the replacement for Air Force One. And it will still be based on the 747 airframe, evidently. And for a lot of folks that don't know, Air Force One is 31 years old, both airframes. And but the new color scheme may surprise you if the aircraft is not going to come into service. It's not going to be complete until 2024, evidently. Also, coming up, you're hearing that Democrats are thinking of somehow getting a subpoena to force Trump's translator to talk. When Trump met Putin, Putin brought his translator. Trump brought his translator. And besides those two, no one knows what happened there. You know, presumably, the Russians I assume they recorded it. You must assume they recorded it. Of course they recorded it. And that he shared it with his staff and the whole thing. I'm assuming Trump shared the contents of the meeting with his staff as well. And this is unprecedented because Trump is not sharing. He's not sitting down with DiFi, who's on the Senate Intelligence Committee, or Chuck Schumer, who's, I believe, the honorary head of the lack of Intelligence Committee. So they're thinking that the thing to do is to get a subpoena and make the translator talk. Ironically, the translator is not talking. The president can classify that. Good luck. Good luck. It's a presidential privilege. Obama's translator never got subpoenaed. But then again, he didn't have to, right? Obama just talked on open mic. So here's a little bit of CBS spoke with Trump about the new Air Force One. And the total amount of the deal, I got to find this. The White House just has a press release. But it's expensive. But, you know, the two aircraft have to be replaced at 31 years old. But here's Trump announcing the new Air Force One and the new shocking surprise color scheme.
Updated both inside and out.
Can we talk about Air Force One for a second?
Yeah.
So we want to, the goal is to repaint it, to redo it.
No, for years they've wanted to order new Air Force One. You know, Air Force One is two planes,
right?
Not one plane. Okay,
right.
I think most people know that Air Force One is two planes. And no president.
By the way, quick fun fact, Air Force One is whatever fixed wing aircraft the president of the United States is flying. Or have you not seen Air Force One? Whatever plane Harrison Ford is on, that is Air Force One. If it's rotary wing and there's a Marine at the stick, it's a Marine one. But anywho.
Has been able to make the right deal. They haven't been able to make a deal to do. And, you know, Air Force One is 30 years old and it shouldn't be. And so I don't even know that, because it's a long time to build, and we just started the process. but I was able to save $1.5 billion and order a new one for the country.
But if your vision is for not no powder blue, it's a red, yeah, white, and blue plane.
The new plane, when it comes in, Air Force One, which will be largely for future precedents, because by the time it gets built, I hate to say this, it's going to be a long time. It's a very complex project. But by the time it gets built, you're going to have many presidents hopefully use it and enjoy it. But Boeing gave us a good deal, and we were able to take that. But I said, I wonder if we should use the same baby blue color, and we're not. You know what colors we're using? Take a guess.
Red, white, and blue.
Red, white, and blue. Air Force One is going to be incredible. It's going to be the top of the line, the top in the world, and it's going to be red, white, and blue.
And, of course, unleash the critics and the whole thing. And they're going to say that this is garish and outlandish, and why would you change that? Because it was just so tasteful and the whole thing. Look at Trump's family pictures with Melania and Barron, okay? It looks like a Persian whorehouse, but that's not where I live, and it's not where you live. He could have done that to Air Force One, but he didn't, okay? So guess what? It's red, white, and blue. You know, find another hill to die on. Because as it turns out, the traditional red, white, and blue colors are the colors of the American flag. So I'm not, believe me, you're going to watch the outrage industry, you know, point out that he's just changing tradition. Well, you know what? What's hurt by being a nice, subtle red, white, and blue? So, and by the way, quick travel tip. I would have to put it on the Republican bucket list to go to the Reagan Library. Before you die, absolutely everybody, you should visit a presidential library. That being said, if you have on your menu the Ford Library, the Nixon Library, the Bush Libraries, and the Reagan Library, this is depending on what the George W. Bush Library winds up looking like. I got to tell you, go to the Reagan Library in Simi Valley. It's phenomenal. It's really, really, really amazing. The Nixon Library is cool and the whole thing. But the Reagan Library has Air Force One. It has the old 707. And T. Boone Pickens paid for the aircraft, put it inside this gigantic cathedral with windows. You can walk through it from the nose to the tail. It's really cool. The Reagan Library is absolutely awesome. It is, and unlike every other presidential library, and this goes for Clinton to Ford to everybody, and you would think Clinton would have one of these, but unlike every other presidential library, the Reagan Library has an Irish bar right underneath Air Force One. You go there, you go through the tour, then you can go through Marine One, which is underneath Air Force One, and then you can stroll over to this Irish bar called, guess what, Reagan's. And it's under Air Force One. And you can have a Guinness. You can go in there, you can get a Harp or a Guinness, and you can bring it out. You can sit there at a table looking up at Air Force One and as the sun sets over the majestic Pacific. So I got to say, the Reagan Library is the way to go. And it's a great old paint scheme. If you recall, if your mind's eye can go and picture Air Force One right now, you know, it's that bare metal, that silver polished bare metal. And then there's white, and then there's powder blue. And the blue on Air Force One is not even the blue from the American flag. And I don't know whose tradition that was or whatever, but, you know, it is a grand old flag. It is a high-flying flag, and forever in peace may she wave. I would imagine, though, I've been teasing it now for the hour, that someday a Democrat will be in the White House. That means that there'll be hold music, there'll be music on Air Force One. And by golly, why shouldn't it be? I know what you're all saying. Isn't it about time that someone release a opera album, perhaps with a female, a soprano, singing about Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Well, your prayers have been answered, because the millennials' favorite Supreme Court justice, the venerable 85-year-old Ruth Bader Ginsburg, dubbed the notorious RBG, they keep with the now Obama fading into the sunset until yesterday, she has become the icon of the liberal left and their hope for the future. By the way, don't pin your hopes on an 85-year-old. I'm just saying, throwing that out there. And so the memes of Ruth Bader Ginsburg doing yoga, even though they're 10 years old, those are all over the place. People are hoping somehow that she's going to outlast Trump. And again, I will take that bet. She's not going to. Trump will be a president who's going to have at least three Supreme Court justices on the on the court during his maybe his first term. We don't know, but maybe by November. We don't know. But anyway, the daughter-in-law of Ruth Bader Ginsburg has released this album. And I'm no critic of operatic music. I just know that when I don't understand the language, you know, when it's like Carmen, when it's in French or Verdi, when it's in Italian, it's, it sure seems to rhyme to me. But the operatic songs composed by her daughter-in-law go a little something like this. And Darren, you have digested your breakfast. Is this correct?
Yes. Fully eaten.
And I'm going to take it's a wild stab and say that. Yeah, if you haven't, if you have not eaten by 8:40 in the morning, or you're in your car, then I can't help you. This is the first cut on Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the notorious RBG, A Life in Music. This is what qualities make a good Supreme Court justice, or something. I'm not quite sure what the title is, but listen to this fine piece of music.
What qualities should a president seek? Being a Supreme
I think even the computer's rebelling. You know what? My reflex is to have you run out there and get Tom Tangney. You know who needs to hear that? Because you know who's going to buy this? Tom Tangney. Of all the people I know, there at Eastlake, everyone I know.
I could
I'll
do
probably,
that. He's
I'll
right
probably
in front
get
of me.
It as a gift. How much you want to bet Tom Tangney, if he hears this, he'll buy it? Here's the other one. There's 9 songs on this album. This one is inspired by a letter from a former law clerk to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And again, this, you know, I know what you're saying. Wow, that just writes itself. Okay, well, here's another piece of opera about Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
The way she used words, I had never seen or heard. I had never even thought sexual, female, male, gender-based discrimination. I started typing.
I don't know why that kills me. I just don't know. She changes her voice to sing gender-based discrimination. You know, doesn't that sound like hold music at Seattle City Hall?
Female, gender-based discrimination.
Yep. That's another one of the cuts of the 9-song album called The Notorious RBG, A Life in Song.
It's so matter of fact. Like, you would want, sometimes you want lyrics to be more artful and creative.
Why would you want that?
Especially opera.
Who's to say, and who's to say that Carmen was not the RBG of 1839?
I guess we don't know what they were saying.
Yeah, it was a very political opera at the time, by the way. But I would say that the soprano, the woman who plays Carmen, she doesn't have this line.
Male, gender-based discrimination.
Nah, but then again, opera about matadors is not exactly what I'm looking for gender-based equality.
Gender-based discrimination.
So maybe she. Anyway, that is really, truly, that's Ruth Bader Ginsburg's daughter-in-law, who is a soprano, 61-year-old singer in Chicago, and she thought, you know what the world needs right now? Is somebody reading letters to Ruth Bader Ginsburg or advising a future president what to select a Supreme Court justice on?
What qualities should a president seek in a Supreme Court justice?
I wonder if she goes on to list some of the qualities.
I didn't get past that point.
Honestly.
I don't know. We'll have to ask Tom Tangney. I'm sure he's... He's probably worn out the download on that. So anyway, we'll come back just a second. We'll get you up to date with the tweet storm in Trump and what you're going to hear about for the rest of the day right after this. Brian Suits Philly and Jason Rantz is on vacation, but it's still the Jason Rantz Show on AM 770 KTTH. Back with the Jason Rantz Show. Brian Suits filling in for Jason Rantz on AM 770 KTTH. Jason's up for the this week, part of next week on vacation. And another thing you're going to hear about today is a Russian spy was charged yesterday. Young woman here legally, which is standard. Which is sort of unstandard is evidently she was using her real name. She was a graduate student at American University in D.C. And she was here. Clearly, the mission, if it was the KGB's overseas spy service called the SVR, she was here for political spying. There's ample people in uniform around Washington, D.C., as well as diplomats. There's loads and loads of State Department, CIA, and military people that you can sleep with to get ahead. She was penetrating the NRA, and she was responsible for arranging and coordinating a trip that NRA staffers took to Russia. And the cover story was that what got them there was to just learn about gun rights in Russia, because it's something that is actually very, very similar in the United States. And in Russia, in rural areas, people can own firearms, they can own handguns, hunting rifles, self-defense rifles, and all that. And she was looking for a position there. She had an unnamed 56-year-old American boyfriend that she was sleeping in and sleeping with, but then she was also sleeping with unnamed U.S. person number one, and because unnamed U.S. person number one promised her a position in a political interest organization. So anyway, it reminds me of I went back and I'll tweet this out. The FBI still has from Operation Ghost Stories. The FBI still has the videos and the still pictures of the spies that they rolled up back in 2009, including the couple here in Seattle, Michael Zottoli, Zottoli. Remember him from Capitol Hill? He was a Russian. He was a Russian spy, and they were attending the UW. And he was not here to get access to Boeing, or was he? He and the person who the female who was with him. We're here for high-tech stuff, industrial espionage, defense espionage, et cetera. But, of course, he played the role, the T-shirts with a flannel shirt that wasn't tucked in and a North Face vest and the whole thing. So, anyway, he was he and the other seven spies were rolled up and exchanged, sent back to Russia, including the woman, the New Yorker, the woman who went by the name Anna Chapman, who was extremely attractive, red-haired, HOT hot, and now she's reverted to her real name back in Moscow, but she's a minor celebrity in Moscow now. But there was a guy, two people in New Jersey, all this. I'll tweet out the link to that, but you can, if you all recall 2009, 9 years ago, it was a bit of a shock for Seattleites to find out that there were spies among us. And here's the news. There probably still are. So now you have this new Russian woman who was penetrating the NRA when the NRA wasn't penetrating. Thank you. Good night. I'll be here all week. under suspicion, I don't know what's Dana Rohrabacher, longtime Republican congressman. I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know. There was a time, and I remember. Remember B1 Bob Dornan? You had this critical mass of influential Republicans who were side by side with Democrats fighting the Soviet Union. Of course, there were Democrats fighting for the Soviet Union, Ted Kennedy, etc. But there was this core of American congressmen, Democrat and Republican, who fought together. Dana Rohrabacher was one of those guys. And I don't know what's happened to him. But he was asked yesterday because he was on this trip. He went on this trip to Russia as a guest of the NRA and a guest of the Russian NRA, whatever it was. And he has no clue. He ain't talking. But there's something's wrong with Dana Rohrabacher. Some people should just turn in their letter and resign. I don't know. Paul Ryan seems to think that it's done for him, so he's not running for re-election. But Dana Rohrabacher, by the end of today, it might come out that he's part of this entire thing. But anyway, the more Russian spies rolled up, I will tweet out a link to that archive at the FBI, including the couple in Seattle in 2009. They were shot on video, still photos, and see if you could locate some local landmarks. Brian Suits out at Dark Secret Place on Twitter. Tomorrow I'll be streaming live on YouTube. So I'll give you the address and how you watch that. Thanks to Darren, the producer, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Rush is up next. Todd Herman coming up at 3 o'clock, my old buddy. This is the Jason Rancho, Brian Suits, filling in on AM 770 KTTH.